Now, I'm hoping, Zeebin, that you were singing in Creole or French, because some of that I didn't understand. So what was it? It was pidgin or what? There was some of that that wasn't English. Or you were pronouncing it like pidgin. Thank you. I never heard the song. Have you ever heard that song? I'd never heard that song. Very interesting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to read two verses this morning to begin with. So if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, let's stand. We'll also read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Just two verses this morning, at least to begin. I think Zeebin's song is a perfect song for the message. I'm going to speak this morning on God is calling. And it's in the passage in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, that says this, that ye, meaning all of the believers here, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto, or into, is how we would say it today, into his kingdom and glory. This is the conclusion of the first 12 verses. His primary purpose in all of this, we talked about the standard operating procedure a couple of weeks back, about this idea of God-centered, gospel-centered, giving-centered. And as we conclude this, he says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And unto is fine as long as you understand the old meaning, which is into. Okay, unto is wrong if you read it incorrectly, because it means right up to it. No, it's into his kingdom and glory. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Just one verse there. I'm going to focus on verse chapter 2, verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians, but almost the exact same thing is said in another passage, even using the basic same words with the exception of one idea. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you, and here's the purpose, that, does this sound familiar? That you what? Walk worthy of the vocation. That is just from the Latin word for calling, that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. Vocare means to call in Latin, and so he's saying, I want you to walk worthy of the calling, meaning you were called to become a Christian. I want you to walk worthy of that. 1 Thessalonians tells us to walk worthy of God because God is the one who calls us into his kingdom and glory. We're going to look at this subject of calling this morning. God is calling. I hope this is helpful. You never know what to speak on in a church service. You never know who's going to be there. So this morning, I'm going to lay it all out. And I would like every person in this room to evaluate themselves. Zeebin sang a pretty powerful song. You ever have a dream and it feels pretty real? And you wake up and realize it wasn't real, but it scared you pretty well. That's not a bad thing to happen. I will say this, if you never, ever, ever doubt your salvation, we got a problem. Because there's only one group that never has doubted anything. So this morning, I'm not going to try to make you doubt your salvation. I just want to talk about God is calling. This subject of God calling us to or into his kingdom and glory. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for your kindness to us, your mercy and grace that is so abundantly poured out upon us. I thank you that we can find in Jesus Christ and him alone, we can find eternal life, we can find peace, we can find rest, we can find the lack of fear, we can find guilt removed, shame removed. Through him, we find everything. May this morning, may we understand the mechanism of that when we consider God is calling. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. On Thanksgiving Day, we were seated around the table. just a few minutes before the meal was cooked and presented so we could eat. And John and I were talking, I don't know, and I said, John, I have something for you. And I had captured right before going to the Philippines a little, I don't know where I got it from. I don't know if someone sent it to me, but it was a little, a board, kind of like the board that's in the front out here that says Pastor Warren, Pastor Koch, that sort of thing, secretaries and those sort of things. But the little board said this. It had a picture of a telephone. And it said this, I'm sorry, I didn't answer my phone when you called. I don't use my phone for that. Does this sound like anybody you know? That when you call them, they never answer the phone. Yes or no? John loved it because John is the most guilty of it. I call him and I already know if I call my son, I am not getting, he's not answering. So he liked that little joke. Well, this is what's funny that grew out of that. Yesterday, I'm upstairs in my office about 1 p.m. And I have my phone sitting in front of me and I'm writing some stuff for, I think, for what I'm going to preach tonight, what I'm going to teach in Sunday school in the future. And I'm writing and working and the phone rings and it rings a certain way. I have an iPhone and when an iPhone rings for Facebook on mine, it sounds different. So I had the phone just, I had it actually turned upside down and it rang and immediately I knew it's Facebook, not Facebook. I can't even speak. FaceTime. So I picked the phone up and it was upside down, so I turned it over. Then I had to spin it around the right way and it said John Warren FaceTime. And I first thought, John is calling me. I'm going to get to talk to John. No, I didn't want to talk to John. I thought, I'm going to get to see my grandsons. I'm being honest. I didn't care about John, but I wanted to see the grandsons. I was so excited, and I think I had to slide the thing over, whatever you do. Sometimes it's a button, and sometimes you have to slide it. I slid it over, and then it made that noise that it makes on an iPhone. You know, I don't know. I can't reduplicate the noise. But I could then see myself in the little corner, and all I saw was blackness, dark. And I said, hello, John? And I'm here, you know how it goes. I'm hearing voices and movement and noise. And I said, John? And then I didn't think he heard John, so then I used his nickname and don't use it because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when I say it either, but I don't care. I said, Hubba, 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 Hubba. Finally, he heard my thing and I can see the phone moving. He pulls it out. It was in his pocket, and somehow he FaceTimed me from his pocket. So through all of that, the whole phone call lasted exactly 29 seconds. 24 seconds of looking at nothing and saying, hello, John, hubba, hubba, hubba. And finally, I got a whole 4 seconds of him. He said, Dad, I'm right in the middle of showing somebody a house. I can't talk. But he redeemed himself. He did say, love you, which means goodbye, John, Dad. Get out of here. Now, I say all of that because everybody in this room is used to people calling them. We're used to the concept of calling. People call a phone. People call various ways. We're used to the concept of calling. So if you look back, we're going to focus on 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. I'm going to read a lot of other verses. You can read with me or not. But we're going to focus on this. God is calling. In chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that, this is the purpose, that you would walk worthy of God or live your life in a worthy manner of God is the idea. Walk, I like the analogy. It's from the Greek text, but it's talking about your day-to-day life. It needs to be worthy of God. Then it says something about God. It says you walk worthy of God. That is the one who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. The first idea in this text is simply this, and it's found all through the epistles. God calls us. God calls us. If you look up the little Greek word, kaleo, it is found over 100 times, maybe 150 times. In the Gospels, it usually is used in this way. Zeben, I call her Zeban. That's not her name. That's my name for her. I call her that. Her real name is Zeban. I call her other things too. In the New Testament, you find in the Gospels, normally the word call is what you call someone. So you find in Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 23, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. 1:25, and he called his name Jesus. Luke, this is so common in the Gospels. It's usually how you call someone. Luke 1:13, it says to the parents, thou shalt call his name John. Luke 8:2 talks about, and she, Mary called Magdalene. So you find that terminology. But friend, that's not what I'm talking about when I say God calls us. God is calling. God calls people. So what does that mean? Theologically, it's used two ways. It's used, first of all, for this call. The universal call to all people in all places to come to Christ. There is a universal call to every single nation, tribe, language group, ethnic group, people group, regardless of where you're from, in whatever corner of the world, God universally calls all people. That's called the universal call of all people, inviting them to come to Christ. Here it is, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That is the universal call. God is calling. God calls us. First of all, this universal call to all people. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. My friend, it's a universal call to all people, regardless of ethnicity, language, people group, tribal group. None of that matters. God calls universally all people to salvation. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, we know the Great Commission is to go into, as Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world, every single place, and preach the gospel to every creature, every individual. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and then the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, every single ethnic group. No exceptions. But there is a problem. That's not what the text is talking about. The text is not referring to God calls all people to salvation, though he does. And look at me. If you're here, you say, is God calling me? Are you a sinner? He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to call sinners to repentance. That's the universal call of God to all people. But this passage narrows down. We call these the effective or the effectual call. It's more than God calling all people. It's God specifically, may I say it this way, dialing your number. He's coming after you by name. He comes right to your door, right to your home, right to your bed, and calls you to salvation personally. Romans, why don't we look here? I think it'd be better if we look at text. It's in order, so you can begin with the first one. Romans 9, verse 11, please. Romans 9, verse 11. We can just walk right through the text. This isn't all of them. This isn't even most of them. But in the epistles, normally it's not talking about a universal call to salvation. It's talking about that effective call to when a person actually comes to Christ. God actually saves you. Romans 9, verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, talking about Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, it's not about what we do, but of him that calleth. My friend, God is calling. God calls us by name to salvation. It's worked out in time. Next book, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Look there with me. We're going to look at every one of these because I want everybody to see. We could spend all day just looking at these verses. There are so many times. May I say this? I went to Bible college, never heard one person ever mention the term. It's ridiculous. It's almost like salvation's on you. It's what you do to get to God. No, 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 no. God is coming for you. He comes and calls us, universally everyone. But he also effectively calls those he has chosen to salvation. And by the way, he comes there to you personally. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. There are many other references. We're just going to look at a half a dozen or a little more. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friend, that is a beautiful text because salvation is not a getting out of hell card primarily. Yes, that happens, but you are called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the great change. Galatians, two books over. Galatians 1, please. Galatians 1. Galatians 1, please. And verse 15, Paul giving his own testimony. Paul doesn't talk about how wonderful he was because there was nothing wonderful in Paul. Paul was murdering people. Paul was persecuting Christians. Paul was opposing the gospel. But Paul looks back at his life and understands God who called him. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace. At the moment of salvation is when God calls you to salvation. Next, 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians, the same book we're in, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. This is found three times in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I thought we would look at all of them quickly. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. When God calls us into fellowship with his Son, we leave behind the unclean lifestyle and we're called into a life of holiness, Christ-likeness, being like Christ. Last chapter in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. 5, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, it's not a maybe. The universal call is to all men, but most people reject. The effective or effectual call is to those that are elect, and God calls you to salvation. And God is faithful. He will bring it to pass. God who will do it. Next book, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, please. By the way, friend, we're going to look at a lot of verses. I'll speak to you directly in a moment. I want you, when you leave here this morning, if you know nothing else, you understand when you get saved, look at me, and anybody that's saved, this is true of. This is, look at me, the great division. You can do religion, lots of religion. But the great division is when God calls you to himself. Yes, well, we'll look at these texts and then we'll come back to that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God does in your life before you get saved, and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's the moment you get saved. two books over. 2 Timothy 1, please. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us. Those being equal are the same, different ways of describing what God does through His Son. We could say He has saved us, even called us. Either way it works. They're talking about the same things. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. God didn't look at you and say, you're so wonderful. No. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 1 Peter. We'll close with three references in 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as He which hath called you, that's God, who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of, we would say today, lifestyle, conversation, the way you can work your life out. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Just the next chapter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, meaning you are peculiar, you are specifically and uniquely God's, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse chapter 5 and verse 10 for the conclusion and the climax of this whole reading this morning. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. My friend, it's God, the God of all grace, calls us into His eternal glory by means of what Jesus Christ has done. After that, you have suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What? Everyone look at me. What does this mean? Let me give you a secret. If God is working for you. By the way, Pastor Warren, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to call all men to repentance. I'm going to preach that you must be born again to every person that sits in these chairs. I'm going to call you to faith. But listen. But this is what I know. As I'm preaching the gospel, the general call to all people, the Father is speaking and the Holy Spirit is speaking to unique individuals. So look at me. While I'm speaking on the outside, someone else is speaking on the inside. And if you don't hear that verse, excuse me, if you don't hear that voice, you better fall on your face right now. Don't wait till the invitation. Right now! And beg God for mercy. Because, my friend, the difference between all people that hear the gospel and those that get saved, some people just hear me preaching. And it's no more, hey, it's no more than TV noise. They're hoping I tell a funny joke. They're hoping I say something that makes them cry. Oh, no, no, no. My friend, the day I got saved, the pastor, I know what he was preaching. He was preaching on John 3. And I remember hearing about the new birth over and over and over. I don't know what he said because the Spirit of God was speaking on the inside while he was speaking on the outside. That's what I'm talking about. God calls us. God is calling. It is not uncommon for people to be saved from sermons not dealing with salvation. Are sermons where the pastor, like myself, barely mentions salvation. Because here's the thing, I'm preaching one thing, the Holy Spirit's taking His word and applying it in other ways. And you can be out there this morning having heard Zeban's song and start to think about salvation. My friend, if God is speaking, God is calling you to salvation. Respond, respond, respond. If your heart is heart and you know whether it is, beg God. Beg God to open your heart and your eyes to hear. John chapter 10 gives us this in this story. He tells a parable, and he says, about the shepherd. He says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the person that controls the door, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." Look at me, friend. Hey. When you get saved, this isn't something, "Well, I think I should get baptized. I'm the right age." Oh, no. This is when the Holy Spirit comes knocking on your door, right in your space. It's unmistakable. I don't know the day I got saved. I was 9 years old. I know it was a Sunday, but I do know this. I remember when the Holy Spirit came to me, and I had to come to Christ. My friend, Jesus says, "My sheep, yep, they hear me." Of course they do. That's the nature of salvation. "The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." John 10 verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I want to ask a question. I don't want any of your religion. We have far too much of that in church. There are a lot of people here that come through Lake County that I know what they are. There's nothing real about them. Why? I don't know. Let me make it simple. Let me put it in a way I think everybody can understand. My mother, I love her, but she never calls me. You know why? Why doesn't my mother call me? Why? Somebody, I'm not going to say anything until you tell me. Why doesn't she call me? Wow, this isn't that hard. She expects me to call her. Yes? I can see Cassie getting chewed out by the mother. Cassie, you're the child. You call mom. She doesn't call you. You're obligated, whether you want to or not. By the way, and when my mother does call, she is the funniest person on a phone I've ever heard. This is exactly what she, I would say in the last, I graduated from high school 42 years ago. I bet in the last 42 years I could count on two hands how many times my mother has called me. And she always says the same thing. She'll call. Now I know who it is. In the old days, we didn't. She'll call, and these are the first words she says. She'll say, "Hello, Ralph. This is Mom." And it's always funny to me. Why is it funny to me? She doesn't need to say, "This is Mom." And she doesn't even need to say, "Ralph." When she says, "Hello," I know who it is. You know what I thought? And I thought of it this morning at 5 a.m. I believe, look at me in the eyes, the first voice I ever heard was whose? Folks, I'd recognize that verse. I can't speak. What's wrong with me? We're very dead this morning, in case you haven't looked at yourself. Too much turkey. I would recognize my mother's voice around the world. Look at me. She always says it, though. She'll say, "Hello, Ralph. This is Mom." And I've even said, "Mom, you really don't need to tell me this is Mom. I think I know the voice." Can I ask you a question? "My sheep hear my, and I know them, and..." I want to ask you a question. Why is it that we have people claiming to be Christians that do not know his voice and follow his voice? I'm asking you a question. Because somehow we still have left over in this church and in this environment the get out of hell cards. I prayed a prayer, but you never heard his voice. And he could speak, and you just go about your business. Look at me, friend. I'm not angry. I'm trying to encourage everybody. I'm done with your religion. I'm done with checking boxes. I'm looking for a host of people that at some time in your life, by the way, whose voice, you say, did you hear an external voice when you got saved? The answer is no. But I did hear and experience the Spirit of God speaking to me, and look at me, and when I hear his voice, and where is his voice found? In the scripture, I always know it's his voice. And I never say, whatever. That even when I struggle to obey his voice, do you ever struggle? Even when I don't want to obey his voice, even when I'd rather not obey his voice, I always know it's his voice. My friend, if my mother called me after church and said, Ralph, I'm not feeling well, I need to see you, he would be preaching tonight, not me. I'd be in a car heading to Southern Illinois because the first voice I ever heard was my mother's. And the first voice I ever heard at salvation was Christ. Don't tell me you're a Christian and do your own thing. You have no idea what it means to be saved. You are playing a game. My goodness. You mean your mother could call you and say, so what? Whatever. I couldn't even imagine thinking that. You're telling me you have heard the Savior call you to salvation and you can say whatever? I call you what you are, unsaved. But friend, I don't want to condemn you. I want you to come to Christ. Christianity is not about being sophisticated. It's about, as a 9-year-old boy, I came to Christ and the Spirit of God impressed his word upon me. And I've struggled, I still struggle with parts of it. But my friend, I never struggle with recognizing it's Jesus' voice, ever. Yes, I had never thought in my lifetime, in 60 years, why do I know my mom's voice? That was the first voice I ever heard. You say, what about your dad's? I'm 60. They didn't let men in the birthing rooms back in those days. I probably heard his voice 3 days later when mom went home. But I got news for you. The first voice I ever heard. And my mother said I was a big baby, and I had a big head then too. And she was glad she didn't have any other children with a big head like mine. When she held me in her arms, I guarantee you, I learned her voice. And when Christ saved me, I wasn't perfect, but I heard something, and I still hear it. According to Jesus in John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, he says to the Pharisees. Why? Because ye are not of God. Look at me. There's a dividing line this morning. It's not whether you prayed a prayer. Oh, drop that nonsense. It's with this. Have you heard his voice? If you have, you still hear it. It's the most precious voice, and I'm not talking about external. I'm not being weird. When you hear the scripture, it's the same scripture that called you to salvation. It's the same scripture that encourages you, that leads you, that comforts you, that helps you, that strengthens you, that forms you. You know, you start hearing it, and you just keep, you say, why? Because it's the first voice I ever heard. And may I say this, did you hear the verse I read? He calls you by name. This isn't some generic salvation. This isn't all of you folks need to get saved. He comes down, Jimmy, and calls you by name. And even the guy beside you that doesn't have any hair called him by name. And this big ugly guy here, he called me by name. That's salvation, friend. Salvation is my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God calls us. and you start to delight in that voice. Look back at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. I'll hurry past the second point, because there's some beautiful things here, and I want to now give some assurance. I want to talk about how he calls us real quickly, and then what that means. Look at the text, that you walk worthy of God. What kind of a God? The one who called you into his kingdom and glory. God is calling. Here's the first point. God calls us, not only universally to be saved, he calls us by name. He comes after individuals. You hear his voice, and you continue to hear his voice. And let me say this, if I never hear that filthy, dirty word, whatever, that is a person saying, I'm an unsaved person. Whatever to God? That is impossible. Unless you can say whatever to your mother, maybe you could. Maybe that's the pagan you are. Secondly, God calls us by the gospel. That's the how he does this. That is the process. Back up in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, we were bold in our God to speak into you the gospel of God. Verse 4, to be put in trust with the gospel. Verse 9, we preached into you the gospel of God. Friend, look at me. I don't want to focus here. I'll just say this quickly. This is what happens when a person truly gets saved. They don't sign a form so they can go about their life, but I have my get out of hell card. Oh, no, no, no. That's not salvation. God never planned that. He planned on calling you into fellowship with his son. He called you into a body. He called you to himself. He called you to be holy. God calls us. We hear his voice through the scripture. But it starts with the gospel. Maybe it's this. Maybe you heard a friend. Maybe a friend at work. Maybe a friend at some other place. Maybe at church. You heard someone say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Maybe that's what you heard. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, how does God call us? He doesn't whisper your name directly. He uses his word. And all of a sudden you thought, wow, God loves me. God sent his son for me. God just simply wants me, by his grace and by his spirit, to trust him and to turn from my sins to him. And he saves us. God not only calls us, he calls us by the gospel. Maybe it was John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, the King James says, everlasting life. Do you understand? The moment you believe, you have everlasting life. Maybe that was the piece of the gospel that you caught. It goes on to say, the moment you believe and come to him, you have everlasting life and you shall not come into condemnation. There is no possibility of you ever being condemned. Why? Because you are passed from death, the realm of death, unto life, the realm of life. Maybe you heard this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Maybe you heard Acts 13:38, being known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all peoples that believe are justified from all things, all the guilt, all the pain from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Please look me in the eyes. Unless you've been sleeping under a rock for the last month, our culture has reached a crisis point with male filth. Yes? Yes or no? It's every place. By the way, some of the most high-profile people in America have been, and some of the stuff, it was kind of like bizarre. But let me just say this. I don't want to talk about that. I would like to go on the other side of that equation. Look me in the eyes. Is there forgiveness for those people? I'm asking you a question. Is there or not? Not in the secular world. There is no forgiveness ever. You are one of those, whatever those are. Well, here's the thing, friend. If I knew you as God knows you, every person in this room has done shameful things. I said every person has done shameful things that you would never want people to know about. Maybe you heard the gospel. when they preached about Christ and Him crucified. And you found out. This is how God calls us. He doesn't call us as we're walking down the road and zap us. He calls us by means of the gospel. And you heard that all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses or any other way. You found there is forgiveness in Christ even for shameful acts, ugly acts, the most shameful things you can imagine. Yes, you can find forgiveness. Doesn't mean you will, it means you can. I heard John 3, where Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I heard in verse 5 where Jesus says, except a man be born of water, out of water, the first birth, and by the Spirit, or out of the Spirit, the second birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. By the way, you're either born once and you die twice, or you're born twice and you die once. It's pretty simple. You either have one birth and you die physically and forever, or you have two births, the physical birth and the second birth, the new birth, and you just die physically if the Lord doesn't return. My friend, I heard this preached as a child over and over. And how does God call us? God calls us. He calls us by the gospel. That's the beautiful thing. Look back at the text. We're going to look at two texts quickly. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. I want you to get it. Listen, I want you to get this. Christians, this is for you. I love this. Paul writes that you would walk worthy of God. Who is this God? The God who called you unto is Old English, into. The Greek preposition is eis. He called you into His kingdom and glory. Now hold your hand here and look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We've already read it. 1 Peter chapter 5 uses almost the exact words. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Are you there? But the God of all grace, who hath called us? Where? The same word again in Greek, it's eis. Into where? His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. By the way, you have the three points all together right there. God calls us. He calls us by the gospel or by Jesus Christ. And He calls us into His kingdom and glory. Meaning this, look at me. He doesn't do this. He doesn't say, there's the kingdom. Hope you make it. God bless you. Do the best you can. Or He doesn't say, all right, here's the kingdom. I'm taking you right to the door. You got to get in, but I am taking you here. No, no, no. Jesus brings us completely into His kingdom. We are now in His kingdom, safe and secure forever. You say, why? Because we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We've been transferred from the realm of death into the realm of life. He calls us by the gospel into this. We now have eternal life. Tim, we went to your father's funeral. And the Roman Catholic priest said over and over, he must have said from the beginning to the end, and by the way, it was a decent funeral. I don't know how a guy could read John 14, though, and miss the point. But here's the thing. Everything that priest said, look at me in the eyes. This is not criticism. This is factual. He said it 50 times if he said it once. Is, Father, receive him. It's like we're hoping he makes it. We're hoping he gets there. We're hoping. No, 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 no. My friend, when Christ comes, when God calls you, He calls you by His Son, by the gospel. He doesn't call you to hope and stretch and maybe. He calls you into His kingdom and glory. Look at me. Let me give you a story. The man that I wanted to hear this is not here, so his wife will have to tell him. This last summer, my wife and I had a wonderful vacation in a beautiful country called Belize. We spent the first week in the north of Belize. And then we drove to the center of Belize, and then we went out some road, not a very good road, to San Ignacio. We spent 7 days or so there, and then a couple days. No, we didn't come back there. We came back to where you're from. Where are you from, sister? What's the name of the city? Belmopan, where we stayed for 2 nights. But when we came to San Ignacio, we got to meet. Oh, hold it, hold it. When we flew into the country, Elwin's brother, I never met Elwin's brother, never met Elwin's sister-in-law, Neri and Edith. Never met them. We get into the airport, and guess who we meet? Look at me. Hey, hey, hey. We meet Neri and Edith, Elwin's brother and sister-in-law. They're at the airport to meet us. They want to make sure we get where we're going. First thing they do is take us out to a buffet to eat so I could buffet my body. Then they're worried that we can't get out of there. Folks, I drive all over the place, but he was nervous. We were going to go north, and they live far west. And he took us to the road, and he says, right here's the road. You'll drive you right to the city you're going, and we found it no problems. When we came back, and we cut off. We went to San Ignacio. We met them. We met Elwin's family, which is wonderful. Met a bunch of the different people. But listen, we're going to go to Guatemala for 3 days. This is what Elwin's brother, Neri and Edith, did. Now, we asked them. They didn't take us. They didn't say, oh, you want to go to Guatemala, but you don't speak Spanish very well. No problem. Good luck. Praying for you. Hope you make it. No, they got in the vehicle with us. And when we came up to the border between Belize and Guatemala, they said, hey, hope you make it. No. They took us across the border. They stayed with us for 3 days. Every place we went, they went. You say, why? You say, because they got a vacation. No, they actually wanted to make sure we were safe. They spent that whole time. Then we came back. We had two more nights left. They stopped at home. Jenny and I drove to Belmopan, which is an hour or two from where they're from. It's the capital of Belize. We stayed there two nights, had a wonderful time, had some good food, nice place. And then the next day, we drove over to the airport, which is a long way from San Ignacio or where they're from. They're from some other place. What's it called? Something about Sikut. What's the name of the city, the total name? Is it Sikut? That's where they're from. Way on the west side, they drove all the way to Belize City on the coast. Wait a minute, we did. We drove from Belmopan, we get to the airport, we're taking our luggage in the airport, and somebody says something to Jenny. They have driven to the airport to make sure we make it. Can I tell you something? I hope you are actually reading the Bible and not sleeping, because when God calls you to salvation, He doesn't say, hey, good luck, hold on tight, maybe you'll make it. He doesn't even lead you up, look at me, he doesn't lead you up to, he brings you inside. You're now part of his kingdom. As Colossians says, and I'll read this for you, I like this. Colossians says this in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. My friend, God is calling. God calls us universally, everybody, but us by name. He calls us by the gospel, but when he calls us, he doesn't say, well, okay, now you can be okay. I'll hope you make it. I'll pray for you. God bless you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't take us up to the point. He brings us inside into his very kingdom right now. I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I've been transferred from the power of darkness to the power of light. I've been transferred from sin to Christ. My friend, he brings us inside. And may I say this, Elwin's brother did that to us in Belize. Every place he went, he didn't say, hope you make it. He took us. He took us. He went with us. And that's Christ. That is what Christ does for us. Look back at the text, and we'll be done this morning. Now I'm going to talk about my buddy Leo. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. There's one last idea. It is the same idea that's found in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. He says, that ye, and this is the part that I haven't talked about, would walk worthy of God. But why? Because he is the God who calls us. He's the God who calls us by the gospel. He's the God who calls us into his kingdom and glory now, not somewhere down the future. You're not going to have eternal life. You have it right now. But the last is the first line. God calls us. He calls us by the gospel. He calls us into his kingdom and glory, and he calls us to walk worthy. Ephesians 4 says the same thing. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. God calls us as believers to walk worthy. A while back, I was talking to my buddy Leo. Leo has many good traits. He doesn't have all the traits of his sister and his mother, but he has good traits. He's an easy guy to like, yes? It's hard to dislike Leo. I asked Leo a question. I said, Leo, how you doing in the Navy? He says, good. I said, you like it? He says, yeah. I said, you like most everything? He says, I like most everything. And I said, what don't you like? He says, really only one thing at that time that he didn't like. I said, what is it? He says, if one dumb young sailor gets in trouble, how does that affect the rest of the sailors? Yes, of course. And I said, welcome to the real world. Look at me, friend. Here's the thing. God called you to salvation by the gospel. He brought you inside. He demands, look, you know, folks that can never hear his voice, I'm speaking to you. He demands you walk worthy of that. You say, well, blah, blah, blah. My buddy Leo found out in Japan, one stupid E1 can ruin it for everybody. Because Leo, look at me, Leo no longer represents Leo. Leo represents the United States Navy. Hello? Leo represents actually his ship. Leo represents, as we had some criminal ball bouncers in China. I always wonder, what do these three basketball players think they were doing when they were robbing multiple stores at multiple malls? Did they think they fit into the Chinese population? You represent something. You represent, Leo, you represent the United States Navy. You represent your ship. You represent this country. And Leo, I'm not speaking to Leo now, you represent your God who called you to salvation. Go and walk worthy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning.